Okay, this is our board time for February 18. It's 1:30 in the afternoon here, and we'll start out with our board minutes. If somebody wants to make a motion to approve our minutes for February 4 and 11.
I would move for approval of the minutes of February 4, Board of Counselors Board Time Meeting.
Want to do them both separately? Same time. We have 11 as well.
What's your preference? Individually or together?
I'm open. Your motion.
We can do them individually.
Okay.
So this motion is for minutes of February 4. Move to approve.
Okay, any discussion? Nope. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Move for approval of Board of Counselors Board Time Minutes of February 11.
Oh, approve. Second that.
Any discussion on that one?
Nope. Oh, wait. Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Never mind. Let's finish it.
What's that?
I'm going to call back to the February 4th when you finish this one.
Okay. So the motion on the floor is to approve February 11. And did you second that motion?
I second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion on the February 11? No? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Did you want to revisit February 4th?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, having voted on the prevailing side, I wish to bring February 4th back for consideration. And the reason I do that, I think I understand a little bit differently than what I'm reading here, having to do with the Hazeldale property.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, do I need to withdraw my motion for approval?
You can bring it back to reconsider. Make a motion to reconsider.
I would make a motion to reconsider the minutes of February 4.
I'll second that.
Okay.
All right. All in favor of reconsidering?
Aye.
Okay, now I guess we can get back on the floor.
So it has to do with my understanding of what we agreed to do with the property in Hazeldale. And I knew we had talked about it future down the road, that when we extend or widen Hazeldale Avenue north of Highway 99, that this property might be able to be used for a stormwater facility at that time, and was undecided. And I thought we were supposed to have someone come back and give us more input whether or not the other property belonged to the school or not. But I don't recall making the agreement that we would save the property for a future project that we don't have on the list.
So, Mark, you want to bring some clarification on that?
This is completely my fault.
if we go back, what happened was a couple of board times ago, Councilor Milky brought this up and asked that I bring some information forward. I went down and worked with Real Properties and Public Works, got that information, and then we had a board time, and I think Councilor Milky was Olympia, and so the fault is mine because I never got back together with him since his return, and so I owe you a conversation, and at least, and so we shouldn't, I think at this point we should not consider it settled. I did present the information to the other two councilors at board time. That's all on the audio, but I do owe you a conversation. I apologize for that, because Real Properties kind of ran through the analysis again, so I need to let you see that.
Okay, so it could have been worse. You could have voted me on to another committee.
Yeah. So I need to get some time with you here in the next week, and we'll look at it. If we want to bring it back, we can bring it back. But Real Properties took a look at it with the 20-year plan in mind, and when that widening of Hazeldale might come into play, and how much property we would need for that stormwater facility. And I just need to get together with you, let you see the information, and see where you're at.
And there was also some property kitty corner across the street to be considered for that.
Yeah, and I've got that. That was Faith Baptist Church owns that, actually. And then the property just below it is owned by the school district. So I'll make an appointment with you. Sorry.
So did the board take action on that?
They did. I don't remember how formal it was. They did decide that it probably made sense right now, given the recommendation from Real Properties and Public Works, to hang on to it. But certainly, you and I can go over it and go from there.
Okay. Thank you.
So the question is, do you want to refine that wording, or you want to just simply, reflect what was the decision at the time? You want to revisit that? Yes, there's really two separate things. One is to either hold back and refine the minutes of what actually transpired. The other one would be to, what do you want to do going forward regarding that issue?
Well, Mr. Chair, I can't refine it because I wasn't here, but I would request it be brought back for reconsideration at another date or another conversation.
In other words, the minutes reflect what happened, and so we should approve those. Okay, so motion to approve. Actually, I guess we reconsidered at this point. Let's just make sure that at this point, if you're good with approving them like they are, let's go ahead and repeat that.
I have to. I wasn't here.
You weren't here then?
Okay. I was in Olympia.
Okay. I got it. I'm tuned in now.
So,
to reapprove.
I'm glad to make a motion for reapproval.
Second.
That's a second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
I have to sustain.
Okay. All right. And one abstain. Tom Milkey's abstain because he wasn't here. He's in Olympia. Okay. And so what comes out of that also is to bring that back for next board time and whatever discussion needs to happen one-on-one with Tom ahead of time would prepare us for that. Okay. So that's 1.1.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I had requested to put item 2.1 on the agenda,
okay,
so that we could discuss regional impacts to the work slowdown, the trains backing up, the ships backing up, and so on and so forth, or the ships, cargo ships. I really think we would want time to have a little more information gathered about that. There is likely to be a regional economic impact that we're all concerned about, but I think for the purposes of an information session here, we'd want to have more concrete information under our belt. So unless anyone has objection, I'd like to remove that item from the agenda.
Okay. All right. So we'll just skip past it. That's fine. So you want to bring something next time? Leave the option open?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. All right. And then that wraps up 2.1. 2.2, national motto. Anyone want to lead on that?
Well, Mr. Chair, as you know, I brought this forward before, and all the red lights and everything came on, and I really feel that since we filled the room with people from Tacoma and Portland, that it wasn't a true representation of Clark County. And that's what I would like to recommend, that we acknowledge that and open up for discussion and maybe consideration.
Okay. First, if I look at the minutes that we just approved on February 11, in the middle paragraph, we addressed this, and the reason that we brought this, the action item that we brought forward, is reflected at the beginning and the middle of that. It says, Medora inquired about getting a large font display of the Declaration of Independence. Further research would be done and brought back next week. That's this week. And so further research will be done and brought back next week. So it's the last sentence as well. Mark, have you been able to make any progress on a large font display of the Declaration of Independence we could frame somewhere in this?
I have the text of the Declaration in regular font. I just need to get it on a plotter,
okay,
print it out, see how it looks.
I figured find space here somewhere that it's not just a piece of artwork. It is that, but hopefully very readable artwork.
And then frame it appropriately.
Sure. So, great.
Well, Mr. Trevor, I might, one of the things that we had discussed in the previous board meeting was I just felt it was appropriate to put that in the hearing room as a formality of our government and recognition that it's a national motto. I had not wanting to discuss or get into debate or slow the discussion over where we might put it. And while if we can agree that we would place it somewhere in the hearing room, we can always discuss and decide later where to put it.
Well, there are really two different things. One is the Declaration of Independence here somewhere, and that's looks like we have a good possibility for that being you have a proposal for us to be able to take a look at that. And the other would be the national model being mounted here in a place in our hearing room. What I would recommend is that we bring that back either at a time when in our regular public hearing here, well, when there's not much on the agenda, just simply because not only should the what we do is important, but how we do it is important. And just simply in this setting, we really it doesn't provide for citizens to be able to participate. They're welcome to observe, but in that setting, it would allow them to be able to speak. And I know we've heard 2.5 hours already from citizens, but yes, it takes patience to offer that opportunity and hear, make sure that we welcome that. But Mark, can you tell me if we have if this coming Tuesday looks like a fairly light agenda? If not, what would be coming up?
We have one item on the consent agenda, $20,000 grant for a railroad crossing.
Okay.
Other than that, we have the warrants and minutes. Other than that,
is this the
that would be a good time
vacation for Sixth Street as well coming up the hearing? Or is that the next?
That's the 24th. Yeah, I think the Regency Place vacation might be scheduled for next week.
Okay.
I can look it up on the grid here real quick.
And I expect that would be a fairly simple thing as well.
It's become more simple because the city doesn't need the road extension.
Oh, really?
So that entire topic is greatly simplified and should take no time.
Did you get something written on that?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Can you send it to us? I did not know about that. That's great news.
I'd like to keep you guessing. No, I will forward
thank
the
you.
Email.
That is
that.
Really good. Okay, well, that would be...
So next week would probably be a good time to have the...
Okay, I can imagine on two, we could either put it on consent, and I know it doesn't require a public hearing, although we always have the discretion just to simply call it a public hearing and not make it a consent item and just have its own hearing because we just assume it would provide more opportunity. Would that be appropriate?
Mr. Chair,
yes, sir.
Under the charter, the things that we do and the actions that we take here could be challenged by a referendum, and that could be done with the signatures of 100 Clark County voters to put it on the next ballot. And so to bring it back and listen to a busload of people from Tacoma about Clark County or from Portland, I want to remind people this is not Portland and this is not Oregon. This is Clark County, and we are unique in itself. And so I take offense that those people come up and come over and think that they can dictate what Clark County does. And we we heard it that we had some people call it frivolous, time wasting, and that's exactly what I think that would be if you had another hearing consisting of another 2 to 2.5 hours. And I'm saying that in a conservative manner because I would think that you'd probably have a bigger contest going on to see who could fill up the room the most. They have the right to take it back through referendum. And I would encourage those people to do that, if that's what they feel. But I think that we could make better use of our time than having a second hearing on the same thing. When we have because there is no action taken on this, we have the ability to take action today if we want in any public setting.
Two things. One, I agree that this is a public meeting and we have the freedom and the authority and the discretion to be able to make decisions in this meeting, and we do have the freedom to do that. However, the reference to the charter. The charter does provide for referendums on ordinances. This is not an ordinance, and decision is independent of that. And yes, we've heard a number of citizens that come forward and said, "Don't waste time on this," and then they proceed to waste time on that. For those that are interested in that topic, I'll share my views on this. This is not an election, and it really doesn't matter how many people pack this room one way or the other, because most of the people, 435,000 people in this county, aren't here. And really, it's an exercise in organizational skills. And what I'm searching for when I listen is compelling arguments. And if I hear a compelling argument, then I could be persuaded. If it's something that is not that's significant enough, and we don't know everything, we can hear from people and hear something that we didn't consider before. So I welcome compelling arguments. But 100 people saying the same thing does not move me any more than one person saying the same thing, because I know of all those people that we represent that are not here. Yes, ma'am?
So, I want to offer an observation about the motto, and that is, it is simply our national motto, and it is the motto of the United States of America, and it's on the coin and the bills. My concern about moving ahead with this is the public perception. This has got less to do with the national motto, and now it's more about public perception. The perception is, and I'm just going to be frank, we have 3 Republicans. We share similar religious values, and we're creating the motto. It's our idea of a motto to put up for all time in the county commission. I don't think that would be a bad motto if that's the motto that happened. I think it would be more collaborative if we waited until the other 2 council members were seated, so that it wouldn't just be the motto of us 3, however good that motto would be, but it would be the motto for Clark County moving forward. I think that that is a fair and reasonable, so that the charge can't be these 3 did something for all time to simply suit our own best interests. So, I think what we would see is it would be a binding force working together to agree on a motto that would go up. It would be one of the first things we work together on. And that would put it out of this area of being suspect by these 3 commissioners. And I don't think that we should have fear, or that we should be afraid people are going to think we're all this or we're all that. That's not what this is about. It's to find a way that we can move forward on this collaboratively, rather than what has ended up being more divisive than it ever should have been. So that's a proposal that I'm going to throw out now, and if you want to see it in writing, I can submit it in writing to get put on an agenda. But it's pretty straightforward.
You know, with all due respect, and I understand where you're coming from, for 35 years, there's 3 Democrats sitting here. And I didn't see them holding back any decisions or policies or zoning because there was no Republican sitting here. Today, for a reason, there's three Republicans sitting here with a different philosophy than what was here for the last 35 years. And to think that we were going to put it off because this decision is a bigger decision on any zoning thing that we might do or any other decision we might make, I don't see it compared to the same. We make important decisions on a daily basis as to what we do here in the county, and I'm not going to put them off until I have five commissioners sitting here. It doesn't make sense. We have business to do, and now's the time to do it.
And what the reason that I held off and didn't actually second the motion, or was it a couple of weeks ago now, was that I want to make sure we never rush into anything. And Jeannie Stewart, you have been just an example of diligent, doing your homework, and never want to rush you. And we've had several weeks since then in order to consider this. And I'm thankful that we each can share our views. And your views are highly respected in my eyes. I consider that and I hear that and I see some merit to that, but I'm going to respectfully disagree. I think this is our first time that we're going to disagree on anything. But you know, it's with goodwill, with respect. I believe it is appropriate for us to be able to schedule this to a public hearing and move on with our business. And it appears that the schedule is light enough for Tuesday for us to be able to just simply bring that forward and handle it then and make the call. So I've got two fellow counselors here, one that wants to do it without a hearing, one wants to wait till later, and I'm going to hopefully we'll be able to just simply get her done Tuesday. And if for some reason we're not successful then I guess we'll have to revisit it hopefully sometime when there's five. Were you going to say something over there? Can you talk into the microphone, Axel?
I quickly ran out of the room to talk to the clerk. There is a couple of hearings scheduled for next Tuesday. One of them is the 6th Avenue vacation. One of the hearings is related to how that decision. I think there's something with signage that. But I know there's at least two.
If the Regency Place vacation is approved, mm-hmm. The second hearing on no parking signage is not required.
Okay, I understand.
I expect that vacation will
it's
be...
It's the same group for both, and that's fine. I think that's still appropriate.
Yep, so I think I'll schedule the resolution in God We Trust for next Tuesday.
Is that okay, Tom?
Yeah. It'll have to be.
Okay.
If I can just make one final comment.
Yes.
Mr. Mielke, you're absolutely right. 25 years or longer, there were always three Democrats. They ran the business of the county. They did it in their own way. And I do think that...
Excuse me. This is a time when we welcome the citizens to observe, but this is also not a public hearing. This is a time when we conduct the business, and there's really not a provision for public to participate in this conversation. Please respect that, okay?
But what I do want to say is the practices, the principles, and the standards that they thought we brought as individuals is why we all got elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would never dispute that. So I just want to reaffirm that.
Sure.
I understand that.
Okay. So we have consensus here that we put it on the agenda for Tuesday, and
great.
And would that be a consent item, or you feel it would be appropriate just simply to make it a separate hearing?
I think it ought to be a consent item.
Okay. Well, Mr. County Manager, that's good enough.
Then you just pull it and talk to it separately like you frequently do.
Yes. Okay. We'd be very happy to. Okay. Any more discussion on that one?
Nope.
Okay. Are we all still friends? Great. Okay. There is one other... Well, first of all, before... I guess I'll take my turn last. So, Mr. Mielke, you have anything else to add to discuss?
Not that I remember.
All right.
So, sorry. Remind me, I had something else.
Just that we always give the opportunity.
Oh, that opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I have nothing else.
I have nothing. I was really pleased to see the Clean Water Commission report.
Mm-hmm.
And some good ideas came from commissioners and from counselors and from some of the committee members, talking about some integration of some ideas and programs and things that can be done that can let people know what all is going on with clean water and the environment and improvements and all those kinds of things. So it was, you would think if you hear they had a Clean Water Commission report that ho-hum, not so much. It was very interesting and inspiring. So glad to be there for that.
I agree. The only thing I have is to revisit or to, not, should I say, continue a conversation that we had on the February 11th. And it has to do with the winery ordinance correcting an error that we made when it came to the mode for the meter that we measure the sound level. And to move that forward, I guess, Tom Mielke, you were able to bring that meter home and...
Oh, that.
And it made a believer out of you that we need to correct it.
Well, it's amazing. In my house or in my shop out in the country, I could never get that meter below 30. And yet when I'm going down the street in my car, it was reading 60, the noise in my car. And now I know that depending on the type of road that you're on, it makes a difference in the tires you have. But in my car, I think it might be a little bit noisy, in my opinion.
Sir, was that the Corvette or the Cadillac?
The Cadillac with cheap tires. So it's kind of educational that the different sounds... You may not notice, because one of the things, I have an airport not too far from my home, and one of those airplanes went overhead and didn't raise it but 5 or 10 decibels. So even with the airplane overhead, and a small aircraft, it was still about 65, but I could still talk. But I think that the discussion that we're talking about is the wineries and the amplified noise that is out there. And the amplified noise carries a long ways. And what we were talking about, we had set the ordinance to be gauged on DBCs, which measures concussion of music. It's the boom, boom of the drum or whatever. And you've all heard that when you've gone up to a parking or a stop sign and you don't hear music, but there's a youngster in a car somewhere around you with his boom box on, and you don't hear the other music, but you hear the boom, boom, boom. That's what the DBC measures. And it is quite disturbing even then, and it's very loud, but you still don't hear the music. And the DBA, I think, measures more of the music and not so much of the concussion. So I have reservations making it any more difficult or any easier, realizing that when you're in the country, it doesn't take much noise to be noticed. And so if you're in a noisy area, the other noises don't bother you, but if you're in a quiet area, every noise is heard. And I haven't gone and talked to any of the neighbors who were negatively affected by 5 days of music or activities. And then the other thing that we never got to talk about was the decibels that we were trying to reach. Was that before 10 o'clock or after 10 o'clock? So those are some of the things that still have to be discussed, maybe in another work session. But I know that it took us 2 years to get to where we were. And if we go back to change it, we probably should go up there and sit in that person's house when one of those things were going on. We only have to be there one day, not all five. So I invite my colleagues to use the meter. I haven't gone with the meter up to any of the neighbors of the wineries. So, and that was the intent of the no disturbing of the neighbors type thing. We expect a little bit of noise, but when it's amplified and the time in which you do it is more concerning.
Here's how I think about it. The DBA is the setting on the instrument to make it have the same response in listening as human ears. In other words, A says, you become a human, you hear what I hear. And that also hears the boombox noises. It doesn't cut it out. It just simply, the difference between that human ear setting, which is A, which is what the state noise whack is set to, and C, which says, listen to what I can't even hear sub-audio-wise in lower frequencies. Certainly the percussions, those low frequency sounds that can carry for miles from freeways, for instance, are picked up on that instrument even though our ears don't even notice that. Here's what I would suggest on that. One is the keep this focused and keep it simple, because what we have here is not the revisiting of a broad policy and ordinance to consider all the different parameters that were built into the wineries ordinance, but rather the solving of a technical problem that disables our own code enforcement from actually going out there with an objective instrument and making a call. Is that enforceable? Right now, we've disabled them, so they don't have a means to check it. The two things that I can imagine need to happen to correct that. One is the schedule of this ordinance needs to happen so that we can focus on this and consider this very specific technical change to revert back to the state noise standard, because they've already figured all this out. The second would be, it would be a good idea for one of us, somebody, code enforcement, somebody, to visit one of the neighbors when one of the there's some event going on with some music and a winery someplace, and see what the instrument says in mode A, which is where we'd be setting it, and make sure we have some of that real world feedback that would inform us so that if we just simply stay with the state adopted noise standard and we can see what that says, it'll tell us what those numbers are. And we also get feedback from the neighbor who can inform us that's okay or that really is bothersome to me. So that would be factored into to that decision. So with the other, if you want to be able to borrow that meter, Ms. Stewart, you're welcome to. You'd be the third counselor to do so.
I live in the Vancouver city limits.
Oh, that's way
far from the train. Not too far from my five. I can see the noise vibrating on top of my fish pond 24/7.
Okay, I guess you don't need it.
I don't need it.
Okay. All right. Well, Tom, you want to be able to...
I will. I would like to go out. And I invite you to come with me. We can make an announcement. We have to do that. We have to notify the public if there's two of us. Then we go out there and face that landowner with that meter.
Actually,
and tell them what you're going to allow.
The Lucy's Garden was one of them. They're the ones that actually hired a noise expert and all that. They did sent us a whole bunch of information and graphs, and they've very well documented the problem. And it would be they're the ones that would that they've demonstrated that without them making any noise at all, that meter, the ambient noise is already over the threshold. And so that would be a good candidate to compare against if you want to be able to do that. Otherwise, I'll sign up to go do that. If we go together, we have to get a public...
You don't have to talk to Lucy's winery. You need to go talk to the people that complained.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You'd be right there. Because it's on the property line closest to the neighbor that would potentially...
You've got to revert back. People move to the rural area for the peace and quiet.
Yes.
There's a reason why they move out there.
Yes.
And in our diligence to allow and create more jobs, we decided to move businesses out into that area that normally would not be there. So when we make concession like that, we need to take into consideration that we're disrupting something that is not the normal thing. And then, of course, we always have abusers of that, and that makes it even worse. And so when you go back to soften the regulations and you still have abusers, I think if you went back and address the abusers first, it might be easier to go back and address the people who are following the rules. And I mean, what I mean by that is that we have some people out there 5 and 6 days a week that they're having activities that wasn't normally there. And in our efforts to create wineries and new businesses, we're going to upset the apple cart. And in doing so, someone else who wants to put a restaurant out there in the rural area is being told, no, you can't do that. So I think we need to look at that very close as to what we're allowing. When you have wineries that don't make wine, or wineries that serve beer, it's either we're promoting wineries with wine, not a place to stop after work.
If there's the big picture, the reevaluation of the ordinance for new wineries is something you want to be able to bring back on the agenda, that would keep that separate, because what we're dealing with is wineries that have already been licensed. They've gone through the process, they're completely licensed, and it would be, even if we were to change our standard, it would not be appropriate for us to be able to somehow invalidate what has already been grandfathered in, as I see it. But what we're really there are two separate parts of that noise ordinance. One is how we measure it. So we're really we can just simply adjust the way that we reference the instrument for enforcement. That's the simplest thing we can do. There's a second part about that ordinance that goes from 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning. It sets back an additional 10 dB from what the state noise standard is. And it may be that even that one would be unenforceable, because the ambient noise is very likely still above that threshold during that time, because 10 dB is a very significant degree. So why don't we do this? I feel like we could, if you want to go visit them, I'd welcome that, but I feel like I want to do it too. I want to be able to have some first-hand insight, because I feel responsible for this error in the first place. And then we'll come back with that feedback and propose whether or not we just do the DBA versus DBC, or the 10 dB as well. Okay. There's a step between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m.
While we open up the noise ordinance, maybe Axel, you can help me. Do we use a DBA or a DBC for dog kennels?
Everything right now in the county's noise ordinance is DBA, and almost everything. So there's a couple of things. The kennel code or the winery's ordinance would have some noise standards that are a little bit tailored or specific to those sections of the code. For the most part, our noise ordinance is largely just based off of the Washington State Administrative Code and those decibel levels. I'm going from memory here, which I should be able to do because we spent a lot of time on this. But for the most part, the state sets the standard, and I can't remember the exact table of decibels. Let's call it 55 dBA is kind of the baseline. And then in I think some scenarios, it drops down after the 10 p.m. You know, I can't remember how many, but basically you got to be a little bit quieter at night after 10 p.m. But if we want to deviate from that in any way, which as I understand it we can, but we have to let the Department of Ecology know we've done that, and they have to within a certain amount of time accept our changes.
That brings up a good point. If we deviate, in other words, I'm going to just summarize what you just said. If we deviate from the state noise standard, that WAC, then we need to get approval from the DOE. We did not. And so we're really in a position where we're not enforceable. There is a problem that it continues to exist day by day that is unresolved until we can correct this. Let me ask you, there's an immediate potential correction that we can make just simply to take some responsible action so that the show must go on. The code enforcement needs to be able to do something, and we can't stay out of compliance with DOE. Can we just simply adopt a DBA? Just simply say, just you set the instrument to A instead of C for now until we can fully address this. Do we have the freedom to do that? As an interim thing, so that we somehow get ourselves out of trouble.
So
the immediate trouble.
A couple things quickly. I think that, one, I believe we are now, I saw an email come through from DOE. So just so we're all technically on the same page, I think our ordinance is in compliance with DOE, because once we discovered that it hadn't originally got sent up, we did send it up. The waiting period passed. They sent us back an acknowledgement that they reviewed it and accepted it.
Oh.
So originally, you are correct, though, Councilor Madore. For a period of time, our ordinance probably could have been considered invalid. Violations wouldn't have probably been upheld because it had not gone up to DOE and had not been approved, and it was a deviation from the state standard. Since then, the staff in planning did send it up and get a response back. It doesn't change the fact that, you know, I was on the record when we talked about this last week. I do think it is, the DBC probably is, I mean, I'm not an expert, but an impossible standard for folks to meet. So we still are operating out there with this very strict standard. And so the question you asked is, can we just give direction sort of, I assume you're saying immediately, just to change it to DBA until we can evaluate it?
Yeah.
I think we probably need to notice and have, because it would be a code or an ordinance amendment, and so I'm not your attorney, but having been through this a number of times, I think probably because it would actually be amending the code to say DBA rather than DBC, even though it's a minimal change, we probably would at least need a notice and have a hearing and put it on consent, because it is part of the table or part of the ordinance.
Okay, so we're in compliance with DOE. And it has to do with the enforceability and what the discretion that, or the pickle that we really put our code enforcement into. So it's a pretty high priority for us to be able to do our homework, get insight to know how can we specifically in a timely way address this particular instrument problem. So I'll sign up to, at the earliest convenience, to get out there and maybe pair up with code enforcement when they get out there and say, hey, I want to tag along.
Well, I know we're staying away from the issue of whether or not wineries that were approved are doing what they asked to do and were granted permission to do in the way they were. So if there were conditions associated with that or whatever. Commissioner, Councillor Melky and I... with the goal of making sure that other residents are protected. The wineries are places of business, and they're legitimate, and they're allowed, and they're permitted, and so on. But the problem of noise creep, when it exists, is a problem that needs to be dealt with. And then a question in my mind is, based on the original approval, have the venues that are occurring at the wineries making them substantially different than what we thought we were approving? And I don't have any reason to believe they are necessarily, but I want to see the whole scope. And some of that research I can do on my own based on whatever conditions they were approved under. But the goal here is to get a fair noise measurement so that we can ensure that people who live in the area are protected from unnecessary noise the same as we would anywhere.
You know, Lucy is kind of unique where they're located because they have that freeway noise. And I can only imagine that in order to overcome the freeway noise, that they're turning the amplifier up to be over that. But the people that were complaining were saying that they were as if they were there themselves because they were using the amplifier. And they introduced all the members of the wedding party, and they could have told you who they all were from their home. So I like the idea that we're going to continue to personally take the opportunity to go play with the machine and kind of recognize what it is. I'm skeptical, and I think it could be a slippery slope because we worked so hard and had so many work sessions to get agreement with all the wineries, and we only have one or maybe two with the complaint.
As I understand it, that particular winery is about a mile and a half from the freeway, so the freeway's noise is not a significant thing, and they're not having to compensate by turning it up. The problem is that when we set it to DBC, it picks up all that low-frequency rumble that we normally wouldn't tune into, and they can't even get a reading from the winery itself because it's all picking it up over there. So the ambient in the instrument is what the problem is. Anyway, yes, sounds like we have a path ahead, which is to find out more about this, and I'll work with code enforcement to learn from insight from them. How do we address this problem in a way that's expedient? Anything else?
There is. Were we going to make a legislative call today, or is that something we did in the...
It's not on the agenda. What do you think, Axel?
There's a piece of legislation that was brought to my attention that we weren't aware of. That one of our legislators had signed on to the bill that affects the operation of the county and the decision being made from the county perspective. And I don't know what it was. Was it you that shared that with me? Or?
I think there were a couple that we reviewed that...
Well, I know the one counselor that you wanted some more information, and I did print the bill for this meeting. Was there was the firework issue? That was one you wanted me to bring back. So I was kind of not as prepared as I'd like to be, but a little bit prepared to talk about that one today. And you'll remember that the issue that was the idea where, well, we did all that work on our fireworks ordinance to kind of adapt and change it. And so the question was, with this bill, which I think sets out to standardize some things around the state, applied to fireworks stands, their locations, setbacks, how many permits or licenses can happen in certain jurisdictions, those kind of things, would that impact fireworks in our county and our ability to kind of have local control and flexibility over that issue? The bill, what I can tell you is I've reviewed the bill. I've spoken to a couple of people. I don't believe potentially it could impact our ability to dictate hours of sale and use of fireworks in the county, which, you know, are really, I think, two big things when it comes to fireworks. How many and how often, how many days do you sell them, and how often, how late can folks use them? I think where there could be an issue is again, it does try to standardize, it looks like, the around the state, the amount of firework licenses, and then the setbacks and the kind of regulations that go along with what the stands look like, and, you know, how they can be sold and where. So I guess, you know, I wish I had a better, cleaner answer for you, but it does look like, on a whole, we will probably, you know, if this were to go through and they came up with state regulations across the state for some of these areas, we would lose a little bit of local flexibility potentially. And so it's something we probably should keep the pulse on and pay attention to if the council's concerned with that.
I think it's something that we need to know more about. I'd like to know if it's going to have a hearing or if it already had a hearing and where it is in the cycle.
And Dan, so can you just get us a copy of the bill?
Yes,
thanks.
I have that. And I can make a copy. I'll find out on the hearing. I didn't bring my long sheet version, which has that. I brought the short one, so I can find out if it's scheduled for a hearing. To my knowledge, it's not, and I spoke to Mike this morning, and I feel as though he would have told me if it had a hearing at least this week coming up, but I'll find that out.
And the number of the bill?
It's 5914.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, it's House Bill 2047. I'm sorry, that's not right.
Anna has something.
Yes, along the lines of this firework, this was covered in the newspaper several weeks ago, and at that point, I got a copy of the bill and provided each one of you counselors with a copy of the bill, and we had it in your board time packets a couple of weeks ago, but we weren't able to get to it. I think there is some a concern from what I discovered across the state from many counties that this would be interfering with the county's roles and responsibilities. So, and I do think there is even some pushback from some of the fire marshals around the state.
Oh.
So I think that is a good idea for you counselors to take a look at it.
Okay.
It's Senate Bill 5914 is the Senate bill version of it, and I think Representative Vick has a House bill version, but I don't have the number in front of me.
Okay. So, yeah, Anna, so we have both House bill and Senate bills on those?
Yes.
So
yeah,
can you go ahead and recopy us those?
I can work at the Axel to make sure you get the full bill.
Okay.
But I believe we already provided that a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Anything else?
Oh, I got it here. If you want to write it down, it's House Bill 1702.
Oh, 1702. That's
okay.
A long way off here.
Okay. Any other business? Councilor Stewart?
No, I'm glad to see this list. I really appreciate staff updating this list.
Mm-hmm.
Some bills that I've been following very carefully as a member of the Legislative Steering Committee for Washington Association of Counties. These give me statuses of where some of those are. I do want to comment just briefly. There are a couple items that we're supporting regarding recreational marijuana and sales tax. I really worry that government gets in the trough on that. And then we begin to rely on revenue. This isn't Clark County specific. This is sort of concern in general. That we build the revenues into our spending. And, you know, there can be peaks and valleys. And then there can be black market, which reduces legitimate sales, and there can be all kinds of things that where we begin to rely on those kinds of revenues, it can be a slippery slope. So that's just something that I've observed over the years, and just a cautionary note about that. So that's all. Thank you.
And Axel, did you put this together?
Yeah.
Great job. It's a really nice format. At a glance, I love the idea of the red and green and blue and title, status, date, and sponsor. And great job.
Thank you. And I have, if you're interested, I have a much longer version of this. I just can't fit it on 8x11, but it has a lot more detail about what the bill does and that kind of stuff. So I can start kind of shopping that around ahead of time, and then maybe you can look at that one and bring this one, but it just doesn't fit very well on a piece of paper.
I would be really happy to see that more expanded version.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Mr. Manager?
I have nothing today, sir.
Axel?
No, I hesitate to bring this up because we're gonna, what I'm telling you is that we're gonna bring it more to you. We've got some correspondence recently from FSEC, which I will botch what it is, but you all know what it is. It's the Energy Facility Siting Commission, I believe. Obviously, there's been a lot in the paper. There's a lot going on with the Tesoro Savage proposal for the oil terminal. I just wanted to let you guys know, because we talked about it at the retreat, you were interested in more information kind of on the process, the steps, and how we look at that and where it's going. There are some things happening. The adjudicative process for the FSEC board is... Okay, and I just wanted you to know that it's my intention to work with staff, legal staff, and other staff we may need to pull together to get this in front of you and kind of make you aware of everything, answer your questions at a county manager meeting coming up soon. So I just, because I know we've got some things.
Jeff Swanson is working to get representatives of the Tesoro Savage Partnership here.
Great.
To brief you, and I will try to get that on a Wednesday county manager meeting for you.
Okay.
Because you need to be informed when you make your decision.
Okay. Peter, anything?
Nothing new. I just hope this morning's work session on a potential alternative four for you to consider was helpful and informative. And if there's any specific issues, it sounds like we have a couple week additional window before you have to finalize anything. If there's anything specific that you'd like me to consider, do some research on, to come back with you some hard facts to consider, the context to consider for an alternative four, I'd be willing to do that.
Okay. Anna? Holly? Okay.
So it's my understanding that this board, I'm reading my tea leaves, I'm guessing, I guess, that we like all the alternatives moving forward, one through four. They are all positive things for our area. And I think right now we were talking about looking at number four individually. I have since met with the staff and had a better understanding of the clustering.
Okay.
My concern there was that the rest of the land would be left in its designated zoning for perpetuity, and it's only until which time it becomes into the urban growth boundary. So it's not something that would be locked up for 150 years.
Yeah.
So that was my concern.
Okay, good. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So
moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay,
aye.
Just adjourn, sir. Enthusiastic.
Hey, that chairman is getting cool.